T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here in the studios with T.C. Hill. He is natural health expert, author, and movie producer. He's a fancy guy. Say hi, TC.
Hi, I'm fancy. I'm very excited I'm fancy. Because today we're talking about flu season.
So go ahead and follow us right now on Facebook at Kick It In The Nuts. And we will post topics there that we'll be doing in future shows. And you can ask us any questions that you want us to cover in the show.
And ask us questions about Kenna, too, just so we can talk about her.
Yeah, I'm a fascinating person. Mm-hmm. So you'll want to know all about me. Today, all of our listeners can get a free audiobook from audible.com. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for all the details.
You're like an announcer.
I know. That was very professional. Wow. So I have a question about cold season here. So does the cold have anything to do with getting a cold? Because it seems like we have more colds in the winter than we do, say, in the summer or the spring. So what's up
weird.
With that?
It's weird that there's more flus during flu season.
Yeah, and colds That's during weird. The cold, you know.
Yeah, so that is one thing I want to talk about a lot today is my opinion of the misinterpretation of the flu season. And it's going to take me about 10 minutes to answer your question, but I think it's a good question, so I'm going to do it. But first, I kind of want to get into explaining our immune system and how it works a little bit. Yeah. So we're going to do some science, and it's going to be jazzy.
Oh, you know it scares me.
I don't know, because there's bones and guts in there.
Uh-huh. And smart stuff.
Weren't you on CSI once, though?
Just play a person on there. I was a killer. I wasn't, science person.
Okay. All right, I'll do the geeky science stuff then. So what happens with our immune system that most people don't know is that, you know, we all hear about, we need calcium, you know, for the bones and stuff like that. And the calcium in our bones is important, and it makes up 99% of the calcium in our body. And if we didn't have that, we would just be like a blob on the floor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's good. It's good to have that calcium.
Job of the Hutt.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Cool. But the 1% of the rest of the calcium that exists in our blood and in our tissues and tissue fluids is really more important other than the fact of not being a blob.
That's kind of like the financial, the way the world is financially. There's only 1% of the top, money makers out there, and they're probably more important than all of us.
Right, they're a lot more important than us. But so this calcium that exists like in your blood, in the tissue fluids and the tissues, it's what signals your immune system to attack when a pathogen comes in. It like sends the signal, hey, bad guy, blue, come and attack. So if that calcium is not there and not in the right place, that bat signal, so to speak, never goes out, and your immune system is just sitting there watching an old episode of Bewitched.
Oh, cool. I love Samantha.
Yeah. Mm. She was hotter than people gave her credit.
Yeah, she was cute.
Yeah, but when you just switch a husband in the middle of a show and you don't mention it, that's wrong. But so this calcium is really important if you want to fight off a cold. And a perfect example of this to understand how it works is cold sores. And we know that a cold sore is from a virus. Say you go out and you're drinking one night and you end up in bed with somebody, and and later you find out they're much more disgusting than you thought, and that they've slept with like the New York Knicks.
You just described every Saturday night for me.
But so now you have herpes, and
great.
When you have herpes, it's understood that you always have herpes. You're a herpeser. That's what they call them, right? Herpeser.
Yeah.
But you always have that in your system, and a lot of people don't understand why I got a big cold sore, and sometimes I don't. So what happens is herpes is a virus, and it exists kind of around your tissues. And so if you have calcium in the right place that can trigger your immune system to attack, then this virus can't flower and flourish, and you don't get that cold sore. So I see clients all the time that get a lot of cold sores, and I say, oh, you're with somebody disgusting. I'm sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Do you know Ken?
Ah, I'm covered in them right now.
No, but then if you start giving them the right type of calcium and you help them push it back down to their tissues where it's supposed to be, all of a sudden those cold sores go away and they don't get them anymore because the immune system is able to fight off that virus and keep it from flourishing. So that's kind of an example that we're going to look at when we're talking about flu season is understanding how important that calcium is and where it needs to be and stuff like that. And a lot of people may think, well, I'll just take a bunch of calcium. And a lot of people have enough calcium, they just don't have it in the right place. We need to understand how to get it down to the tissues, into the tissue fluids, as well as some in the bloodstream as well. But when it's not there, it's easy for every cold that walks by you to take over because your immune system is watching Bewitched. Make sense? So that's what we kind of look at. And when I look at flu season, I mean, think about when flu season starts. It starts at the end of October and it goes through all that cold time. And yes, I kind of view that your body being real cold is a burden. It's a burden to the body because the body has to do extra work to keep your organs from freezing up and, you know, just from body temperature going where it shouldn't be. So there's extra work involved. And when that burden is there, it can kind of take the body's attention away from, you know, handling burglars and other pathogens.
So people that live like in hot climates year round, they don't have as many colds because their immune system is, you know, not overburdened by trying to heat the body and stuff? Or what?
I don't think that's accurate because if that was the case, there wouldn't be a flu season in Antarctica. It would just always be, hey, I live in flu. It wouldn't be a season. You know, places where it's always cold, you'd just be screwed.
Yeah.
So my view is this, is that the cold, yes, is an additional burden that can be there, but I don't think it's the cause of flu season.
Okay.
Because think about October. At the end of October, what do? We go trick-or-treating. And if you know how to trick-or-treat like a badass, now you got a bag of candy that lasts you a month.
Oh, yeah.
So when we eat sugar, especially processed sugar that we have, calcium has an affinity for sugar, and it will follow sugar. And could you blame it?
No, I follow sugar to the ends of the earth.
Right. I mean, when you were a kid, how many times did the ice cream truck go by when we didn't chase it?
A kid? I was just chasing one the other day, and I thought, okay, well, there I got my cardio in. Now I got an ice cream. That was my reward.
Yeah. Give me another butter pop. Mm-hmm. What were the ones with the nuts on top?
Oh, gosh, I love those. Oh, what are those?
Drumstick, Nina says.
Ah, okay. Look, Nina knows the drumsticks. Sound engineer. Wait, over there, Nina.
Now she's pulling out a box of them. That's not good.
Yeah.
So, but what happens is when we eat sugar, it displaces calcium from where it should be because the calcium follows the sugar and it goes along for the sugar ride. And then once the sugar's burned up, it just drops the calcium into joints and gets deposited in the wrong place, and then people end up with arthritic situations and pains and stuff like that. So Halloween, there you go. You just started flu season with your bag of candy.
And all these arthritic children walking around.
Right. And, you know, of course, when you're a kid, it takes longer than that for the calcium to all go in the joints. But that is a cause for a lot of joint pains as we get older. So let's say that you make it through your bag of candy. Well, it's time for Thanksgiving and you have 7 pies in the refrigerator to last the next 3 weeks. And then all the, you know, holiday parties start and you're drinking and you're eating all the candy out of your stocking.
Is there a hidden camera on me or something? Because you're always looking at me and talking about these things like you know what I have in my fridge and what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. But and then after the after Christmas or, you know, whatever your correct holiday is, then it's New Year's and you're having champagne and that takes you over to Valentine's. And if anybody likes you at all, you have a whole bunch of boxes of candy. And if nobody likes you, then you're sad and you go to the store and you buy a grocery cart full of Peeps. Aww, and you're eating marshmallows.
Sad.
Yeah, it's a sad story. But once you get through that, then flu season's pretty much over, you know, coincidentally. So.
And then you have skin cancer season.
Right. Yeah, but that's a different show. But so that is my view more of why flu season occurs. It's not just the cold. It happens to be the time when we're eating all this crap. And all this sugar is displacing calcium and turning off our immune system's ability to know what the hell is going on.
Well, I it sounds valid. I just don't like it.
I know. It's not your favorite story because it includes
you, sugar and
it includes you not eating donuts.
I know.
Oh, that's God. A mean story.
Aww, sad ending.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we want to look at. That's a main part of the immune system. And we're going to cover some other things when we get to people's questions and stuff. But you can see that the sugar issue is really a big deal. And keeping that calcium in the right place is important in order to allow your immune system to attack whatever comes in. And if, you know, one guy gets sick and another guy doesn't get sick, a lot of times it's just that the immune system was able to fight it off and one person's wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go into some questions.
All right. We have some questions. Let's see here. Kim from Wichita Falls, Texas. Why do people tell me to drink orange juice and how does vitamin C help? Yeah, that's a common one. Yeah, right there.
That's a good one. And it goes way, way back. That we've been hearing that one. And first, before we talk about the orange juice, let's talk about vitamin C, because it's really important in the human body. It's used for pretty much every repair process that takes place. And humans, guinea pigs, and primates are the only mammals that don't make their own vitamin C. Everybody else just makes it like they're magic. And we get a little bit ripped off. Yeah, so we have to get it from the food that we eat. And unfortunately, our food sucks now. Like, it just doesn't have the nutrients that it used to because of our despicable farming methods. And we're just not getting the nutrients that we need. So we can end up with a vitamin C shortage. And that calcium is the thing that turns your immune system on when it's in the right place and tells your immune system to attack. But the vitamin C is kind of like the bullets in the gun if the immune system were policemen.
Or hunters. Or yeah. A crazy postal person.
Yeah, right. Any of that stuff. So the vitamin C is very important to allow that immune system to kill the pathogens and have it removed from the body. It can also be used to like chelate garbage and junk like that. To kind of bind to junk and remove it from the body safely. So vitamin C is a really big deal, and we don't get it. So what people will do is they'll supplement vitamin C. And when you buy a vitamin C supplement from horrible stores that sell garbage, I won't say their names, but they sound like B and T. But, you know, just there's a lot of, you know, most supermarkets and places like that are going to sell a lot of garbage supplements that have a lot of binders that make it so you can't even absorb the supplement that's in there and use the nutrients. But so they'll buy these vitamin C supplements, and a lot of times it's just ascorbic acid. And I use ascorbic acid with clients a lot for specific purposes when I want that ascorbic acid to fix something or do something. But if I want somebody to have vitamin C, I have them use a whole C food form of vitamin C that includes the whole complex of the vitamin. When we buy like ester C or ascorbic acid or these other cheap vitamin C's in the grocery store, it's usually just a fraction of the vitamin C supplement. So when you take it, your body can use it because in its reserves, it has all these other cofactors that go with vitamin C, and that just kind of puts it together like it's Legos, you know, in your in your body. It builds this Legos of vitamin C, and then it can use it to help the body. But after about 2 weeks, you run out of the reserves, and now this ascorbic acid or ester C or whatever fraction of vitamin C that you're taking is worthless, and now your pee is pretty because it's yellow and bright.
Yellow's not a great color on me, though.
Yeah. So don't pee on yourself.
Okay.
So that becomes a problem, and we become vitamin C deficient, and then our immune system is not as effective as it should be. But if you get a whole C that's made out of food, it has all the cofactors that go with that C, and then your body can use it. Like, you can get one called BioC on naturalreference.com. There's a company called Garden of Life that you can usually get at Whole Foods, and they sell whole food vitamin C's. And if you get those, then it can help strengthen your immune system. What was the question?
Oh, God, I don't remember. Why do people tell me to drink orange juice, and how does vitamin C help?
I don't know.
No,
oh, yeah, all that stuff I just said. No, but the problem is with the orange juice, because when you drink orange juice now, it doesn't have the minerals in it that oranges had years ago. And so even if you're drinking organic, it still is not as a lot of as
minerals. Really sucks because I love orange juice.
Right, and it's a ripoff. But what happens when you have a juice is you took all the fiber out, and now the sugars in that juice are going to hit your bloodstream so much faster, and all of those minerals are going to chase that sugar a lot more.
Damn.
Yeah. It got ripped off. So the calcium leaves the places where it needs to be. It follows the happy orange juice truck, and now there isn't anything there for to trigger your immune system to attack.
I keep my calcium really busy in my body.
Uh-huh.
With all the bad stuff. It's always chasing something.
Right. Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to get vitamin C without having to do it with all the sugar. So that's why a vitamin C supplement could be better than just drinking orange juice. You want to reduce all of the sugars and starchy carbohydrates that you're taking in while you're sick, because that's going to turn off your immune system. It's going to put the calcium in the wrong place. But getting the C is important. So that's something you do want to focus on.
Cool. Another question from Sean from St. Augustine, Florida. Starve a fever, feed a cold. What's that junk all about?
I saw that on Facebook. That was one of my high school best friends.
Ah, yeah. Who no longer talks to you?
No, nobody talks to me anymore. But once he shot himself in the hand with a pellet gun.
Oh. He shot him or shot him?
No, he shot himself.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
It doesn't have anything to do with this question, but it's just fun to talk about.
Yeah, I wonder if his calcium followed the pellet.
I think it probably would have.
Yeah.
And that's probably why he screamed so loud.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it was feed a cold, starve a fever. So this saying...
Starve a fever, feed a cold.
Starve a fever, feed a cold. Right, okay. So this goes back to the 1500s. And I like to think that since then... We've learned something.
A little.
We've learned a few things.
Thank God they're not still burning witches at the stake. Redheads.
Yeah,
I'd be
going
down. Dead.
Yeah, and we learned that Baywatch should not be the number one show in the country. Mm-hmm. We learned stuff. But let's just pretend that this is true and this is look at why this could be. Basically, we used to think that the fever was the problem and we got to dump people on ice or something to get the fever down. But now we know that the fever is a sign that the body is taking care of the pathogen and the problem, and it's killing the cold or whatever it is. So we view it as, oh, good things are going on. But it takes a lot of resources to deal with that. Think of the whatever cold you're dealing with is like a war going on in your body, and there's Braveheart battles and freedom and things are being screamed and stuff like that. So I love that movie, and now I forgot what I was talking about.
Oh, it was Starve a Fever, right. Feed a Cold, okay. And I got a fever for the flavor of a Pringle.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you got me. Shoot.
No, we don't have to put that anymore. They turned us down for sponsorship.
Oh, okay. They'll cancel that.
Yeah, so, so digestion it takes more resources for your body to digest food than just about any activity that we do. It really takes a lot of stuff going on to rip that food apart and bring all the nutrients out of it. So when you're really sick, a lot of times you lose your appetite, and it's kind of your body's way of saying, look, we're dealing with a lot. Just simmer down, and maybe you don't put so much in here right now so that we can take care of this battle going on. So in that respect, starving a fever could have some relevance to it. And with a cold will usually last longer than a fever, and you don't want to be starving all through a cold because you're not going to have any resources that your body needs to function and to fight things off. So I think that's probably why they say to feed a cold. And that doesn't mean you just need to be cramming things in your gullet.
Wow.
I know, you'd be making out with everybody that was sick.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a cold? Can I talk to you?
I'd be like, hey, come on over.
Yeah, so that could have some validity there. But again, remember, when you're feeding this cold, so to speak, stay away from the sugar and the carbs and the things that are going to turn off your immune system.
You know, when you were talking about battle, I just kept seeing Abraham Lincoln doing the Gettysburg Address in my body, like getting everybody ready for battle and stuff.
Because he's so tall.
Mm-hmm, exactly. He would really fit in my 4'11 body. Mm-hmm. Okay, Amber, and she's from nowhere. Why chicken noodle soup? Do you really get sick going outside with wet hair?
Okay, let's talk about the hair one first. And I think that that kind of goes back to
cold weather.
Yeah, the cold weather thing and your body having this burden of having to regulate temperatures when it has all this other stuff going on. And this is just my theory. Don't look at this as fact or science or anything like that. But I kind of view us as humans as having viruses, bacteria, all these things in our body already. And our immune system is just kind of keeping them in check and not letting them replicate and have big orgies and raise thousands of families immediately overnight. Hmm. So I kind of feel like when another burden comes on, now the body has to deal with this, and maybe it can't handle all of these little bastards that are living in our body, and they can kind of expand and take over. So when it's cold outside, that's another burden. And then we go outside with wet hair. Now that's really dropping the temperature of our head. And to our body, our head is kind of important.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. So I think that it could freak out and say, we got to do things to regulate this temperature. And so it can get away from handling things that are maybe more important as far as fighting off bastards. Mm. Yeah.
So they're fatherless.
Right, right. Aww. They are. Okay, but the other, the chicken noodle soup thing, think
it's
about...
It's good for the soul.
Right, yeah. And I like Jack Canfield, mm-hmm. So why could that be wrong? But the good part about chicken noodle soup, especially from where it originated, back when chicken noodle soup was good for us, because they would make it, like with chicken bones, and then all those collagen and all those nutrients would be coming out of the bones into the soup.
People started choking on the bones, probably.
No, yeah. Oh. That was different. Okay. That was a different show. But they now you're giving your body all these nutrients, all this chicken broth that's already digested for you. You don't have to do the work to digest it, and your body can just have those nutrients and use them to fight off what's going on. But now, since all of our noodles are such processed starches and carbohydrates, if you're doing chicken noodle soup, you're also going to be creating all these sugars that
calcium's going to follow and blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad you were listening.
Finally, I'm getting it.
You really get it. I like when you teach people stuff and you're like, well, Tony says blah, 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 and you never even get into what they actually need to hear.
I just say blah, blah,
blah. You just
blah.
Automatically go to blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. But if you could get like a chicken broth soup and maybe just put vegetables in there, and make them easier to digest, then I think chicken soup is great.
Cool. So Mike from Provo, Utah. Why do I act like such a baby when I'm sick? Grow up, Mike.
Yeah, what's up, Mike? Well, I will tell you this. When I am sick, I am the biggest little bitch on the planet.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, it is this. I am the biggest freaking sissy, and don't touch me, and I'm achy, and then I cry at episodes of the Brady Bunch, and I get all emotional, and it's just a mess. And, you know, I, for probably 5 years, I would get sick probably twice a month. It was horrible.
Wow.
I know. It's because I was living on Little Debbie snack cakes.
Oh. And now you're like, perfect. This man is perfect with his food.
With my food. I thought you were talking about other stuff.
Oh, no, not in that at all. In life, no way. No.
Okay.
No.
I'm glad we clarified that. Uh-huh. But, so, basically, when you think about that war going on and your body needing to use all of these nutrients to handle that situation, it kind of leaves less resources for you to function as a human. And we've talked about in other shows, and if you've read any of my books, you may understand that these minerals and nutrients are needed for signals to travel to the brain and the brain to function properly and emotions not to take over our lives. And so if all of that is being used for other stuff, maybe the brain doesn't work so well and you just become big, huge baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because okay. I've seen it happen. I look in the mirror and be like, Wow, that's just a huge little bitch right there.
I need milk. Give me a boob. Okay,
boobs
so
are awesome. We should talk about boobs. Oh, that's a different show.
That's a different show at a different time.
That's later at night?
Yeah, that's Cinemax at night. So Nina from North Hollywood, California. Are there any treatments that are less apt to kick your liver in the mouth? Oh, she has definitely read one of your books.
Yeah. Okay, so that's good. So, but let's explain for people that don't know, and that is that the liver is designed to remove toxins from your body and anything foreign and synthetic. And most of the stuff that we create that's synthetic is foreign to the body, and the liver removes it. And pharmaceutical companies know this, so when they make a drug, they up the dose to a level so that it can overwhelm the liver, and now enough of the drug can stay in the body and do the job that it's supposed to do. But it does so at the cost of kicking your liver in the mouth, as Nina puts it. So she's interested in finding what can I do as a remedy that's not going to overwhelm my liver like any of the over-counter drugs that we would get and use. So some things that are really good that I like to have people do is, first of all, drop all your sugars and carbs and don't whine about it.
Don't tell me what to do, mister.
You're not the boss of me.
You.
Oh, I guess.
Kinda, sometimes.
But I like to see people do that just so that they can allow their immune system to do something. People can also add calcium lactate, which is a really, easily absorbable type of calcium. Most calcium supplements are garbage, and they're harder for your body to assimilate. And they're also trying to give you calcium to build your bones. Because
yeah, I just hold my calcium lactate in my hand, and it just absorbs right through. I don't even have to take it.
You're so magic. Most people aren't magic because they're not redhead and they're not like a leprechaun.
That's right.
But I like to have people take some calcium lactate just to make sure they have enough calcium, because some people's problem is they don't have enough. And then you can also do other things to push calcium back down into the tissues and in the tissue fluids where you want some. In the same way that sugars pull calcium out, fish oils, and like eating salmon or flaxseed or an amino acid called lysine, these things can push calcium down into the tissues where it's supposed to be. So that can be a good thing to do if it's flu season, or maybe you just had a bag of candy and you're like, oh, I just pulled my calcium out. I should work on putting some back in the right place.
Oh my gosh. Wow. You should not have told me that. I want to order some lysine today.
This is not a trick to eat a bag of candy at a time. It's just, you're just putting everything you can in your favor. But the lysine doesn't keep me from punching you in the face for eating a bag of candy.
Oh, okay. You should see my face. I've got black eyes right now.
Uh-huh. So that can be a good thing to use. Zinc is another thing that can help boost your immune system a little bit. And, of course, we already talked about vitamin C. So here's something, too, that I like to see people avoid when they're sick, or if they feel like they really need to do some things to avoid being sick, is vitamin D. And you know, we all are being told right now to take these ridiculous amounts of vitamin C, D, vitamin D, and if you don't take it, you're going to have osteoporosis by the end of the week, and people are so freaked out that they're downing all this vitamin D. But what vitamin D does is it helps us pull calcium from our intestinal tract into the bloodstream so that we can use it. So we're very grateful for that. And what do we say when we're grateful, Kenna?
Thank you.
Thank you is good. So that's great. But when we up this vitamin D dosage and the levels that everybody's telling us to take now, instead of just pulling the calcium from the intestinal tract in the bloodstream, it starts pulling it from everywhere, like this super on crack shop vac that pulls it from all over the body and pulls it out of the tissues, and it makes the blood calcium retentive, where the calcium is basically trapped in the bloodstream and can't get to the tissues and places where it needs to go.
Are calcium retentive people like anal retentive people?
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay, same thing. Okay.
That's not really true, but it's fun to say that. Mm. But so if you're taking a lot of vitamin D and you're getting a lot of colds, or you're getting a lot of Charlie horses or menstrual cramps or cold sores, all these things are signs that you don't have enough calcium at the tissue level, which means you either need more calcium or you need to push calcium down in the right place, and reducing your vitamin D intake can help that happen.
Cool.
So didn't, I think some people also gave some suggestions.
But yeah, they had suggestions. Let's just see if they're any good. We'll be the judge of that.
Yes, we will.
Julie from Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. I use essential oils to fight the cold. Thieves oil works awesome. Never heard of that. I take it internally in a capsule. Usually kills it fast. My kids and husband use it too. First sign of sore throat or cough, and out comes the thieves oil.
Yeah, I've never used thieves oil to either, but essential oils can be beneficial in helping that, especially if the cold that you're getting is like some type of bacterial issue. That can really be great. And she says to put it in a capsule, and I do this with some things too, just because some things are so disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And some things like will irritate your throat and make you have garbage breath or something. So you can buy empty capsules at like Whole Foods or something, and then you can just like dump liquid in there and then close it again, and then you're magic.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like a ninja spy trick.
All right, cool. Was that it on the thieves oil?
Yeah, because I've never used thieves oil, but
okay.
I do like essential oils.
I hear it's a steal.
Right. Oops, that was awesome.
Oh, that was bad. Okay, Sharon from nowhere, another, I guess, tip. For me, oil of oregano oil, P73 Super Strength, either fends off viruses completely or minimizes the symptoms and duration if I catch it too late.
Yeah, I have used oregano for a lot of different things, and it can be very effective. So I'm totally okay with that one too.
Put it on my chicken.
Yeah, and then your chicken is the same as like NyQuil.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's fighting the cold. They don't call it that though.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at those things, you should be able to reduce the amount of colds that you get this year if you really focus on. Understand what you're doing when you're eating carbs and sugars and when you're pulling calcium out of where it should be. Understand how to make sure that you have enough calcium and to push your calcium down the tissues. And one thing you can do to look at if your tissue calcium is poor is think about, okay, do I get Charlie horses? Do I get cramps? Am I getting cold sores? But you can also look at your urine pH by getting test strips at like any health food store or something. And if your urine pH is higher than 6.5, that's a pretty good indication that your calcium is higher in your blood, and it may not be as well in your tissues, and that you may need to do some things to push that down a little bit. So that's a good way that you can look at your own physiology and understand, do I need to do something about this? And then also making sure that you have some type of vitamin C supplement, because we don't make it. So find something that's a whole food vitamin C so that you're getting the whole complex and your body can actually use it. So do those things, and then you don't have to be a whiny little bitch like I am when I'm sick.
Yeah. And, I think that's it. We have any more questions?
I don't have any more questions for you.
I don't want to go into the explanations of the questions I have. everybody. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. Catch us on the next episode where we'll be talking about understanding constipation.
I just want to poo.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to Kick It Naturally, where it's okay to talk about your poop. And believe me, we will. Poop is cool. 'Cause I know a place where the sun is